You've taken a mental health day off from work, from home, from everything. The day-to-day stress is unrelenting. You don't have time for a vacation, but if you don't get some downtime away from it all, you just might snap. You drive way out into the wilderness to that old-growth forest of redwoods up on the high plateau. Nothing but tall trees over a carpet of pine needles. No brush to slog through, no poison oak. You could ride horseback through these woods and never have to duck your head. The temperature is perfect. Cool enough that you don't break a sweat. Warm enough so you don't feel a chill in the shade. As you walk, all the crap that's been sapping you of energy and joy starts to evaporate. You can feel your muscles loosen like they would in a good massage. The air is fresh and clean. The only sounds are the wind and the birds in those tall trees, and your own footfalls as you walk. You purposely leave the phone in the car. To have it with you would defeat the purpose of this hike. After a while, you get hungry, so you fish a sandwich out of your pack and sit down with your back against a massive redwood. As you take your first bite, you notice something across the clearing. On a tree is a weathered plywood board, and attached to it is an old rotary telephone, just like the one on the wall in Mom's kitchen when you were a kid. At first glance, you'll wonder if you're seeing things, but then you recall reading about this. Years ago, some guy tacked one to a tree somewhere up around Seattle, huh? Must be a trend that's catching on because you are not in the Northwest. They called it, the wind phone. It's not functional. The frayed wires dangle, connected to nothing. What's the purpose of the wind phone? Well, anyone who hiked by was welcome to pick it up and say whatever they wanted. Make peace with a departed friend or relative. Unleash a primal scream. Confess your sins. Beg God for forgiveness. As you finish your lunch, you stand and brush the dry pine needles off your pants. When you think about it, not all the stress that weighs you down is job-related. There are other things. Things you've done and wish you hadn't. People you've hurt, and others maybe you wish you had. Events in your life that devastated you, left you sore and reeling, and honestly, you've never quite regained complete equilibrium. To this day, on this very hike, you can still feel your gyroscope remain slightly off-center. Maybe, just maybe, you should pick up that battered, dead antique phone and just talk for a while. You've done more foolish things. There's nobody here but you and these big trees. You stare at the phone for a few seconds and wonder where to begin. As you reach for it, you feel a little silly, embarrassed. But what the hell for? You're alone, for God's sake. Not just in these woods. Maybe everywhere else. Maybe that's why you feel so shitty so often. You mutter, fuck it, and grab the phone and put it to your ear.
This call may be monitored or recorded for quality assurance or training purposes.
The Safari Park.
You're killing me, Larry!
Larry, fucking Larry.
Larry from That Larry Show.
For men with balls.
Take off your pants.
Larry, get into bed now.
Larry!
Larry! Larry!
The original wind phone was placed in Japan in 2011 after an earthquake that triggered a tsunami which destroyed the Fukushima power plant, resulting in a nuclear meltdown. bing, bang, boom. Just like that. If it happened today, they'd blame it on climate change, because as we all know, there were no earthquakes until Detroit started building SUVs. Japanese are no strangers to catastrophe. They know that shit happens. Always has and always will. They rebuilt and moved on quickly, same as they did after World War II. But one guy thought of a fresh way to memorialize the dead and bring some comfort to their kin. So he placed an ornate phone booth on a windswept hillside overlooking the Pacific. Inside its immaculate interior was, and is, a black rotary desk phone, not connected, a little notepad, and a solitary pen. It was all put there ostensibly as a coping mechanism for survivors. Anyone was free to enter that booth, close the door, pick up that phone, and whisper, talk, scream, cry, or doubtless some just listen, as you might to an empty conch shell. Maybe they'd hear the ocean. Maybe they'd hear the cosmos. Maybe they could tune in the thoughts of the loved ones they lost. Some 10 years later, a guy put his wind phone in the forest in Washington State. To compare and contrast the two installations reveals a lot about two very different cultures. Way, way before there was ever a so-called homeless crisis, most American phone booths, the ones in urban areas, well, they doubled as urinals, offices for drug dealers, shooting galleries for junkies, and so on. So a wind phone in a booth in America, in or near a city, would soon be a toilet. Although people who appreciate nature and hike into forests, well, they tend to be a little more considerate. But even though it's still surprising that wind phone hasn't been ripped off its moorings or spray-painted or burned. Which is the better venue? The American version gets my vote. And the Japanese one, minimal privacy is available in that booth, in proximity to other people, grievers and ranters and confessors. They're much more likely to curtail histrionics, lower the volume, keep it brief. But deep in those woods, well, there you can marinate yourself in the majesty of nature, in a place of complete seclusion surrounded by redwood trees, some of the largest and oldest living things on Earth. Bigger by far than any dinosaur or whale. Centuries old, some thousands of years old. They don't challenge, or threaten, or demand, or require anything but sunlight and rain. But they are not as uncommunicative or monolithic as they appear. Besides shade and oxygen, they offer something even more valuable, especially precious to those in emotional distress, perspective. Beside them, the tallest man is a dwarf. The richest is a pauper. The smartest is an idiot. For they have accomplished something no man or woman ever has or will. They have endured. We are temporary. They are indefinite. And this guy that tacked that phone up on that massive living vertical temple to endurance, maybe he selected this location for precisely those reasons. Whatever troubles burden our minds, they are fleeting and insignificant in the purview of those gigantic trees. When we're kids and beset with kiddie problems, we don't run to other kids for comfort. It's mom and or dad or grandma and grandpa, because in our kid brains, we instinctively know that odds are they've been where we are. And if they don't have a solution, at least they are a bigger, stronger presence, assuring us that we're not alone. Eventually, grandparents and parents manifest their transitory nature, as we all do. While no one can replace a parent, some of us are fortunate enough to have friends or a husband or wife to lean on when times are tough. Some of us are not. Some may seem well insulated from hard times by a support group, but you never know. One of the greatest lyrics ever is from the ballad "I Never Cry" by Alice Cooper. These 8 words say so much. I may be lonely, but I'm never alone. There are many people who relate to those lyrics, but nobody knows about it but them. They're living the dream, got all the stuff, hanging in the right places, doing the cool things, smiles galore on social media. I had a friend like that. He was a very talented dude, successful artist, great musician, but more than that, an all-around good person. We'd play guitar, talk for hours on end, and eventually, he told me he was profoundly unhappy. He'd never really gotten over his divorce, and his current girlfriend was a gold-digging bimbo. And all those "we're having fun and so much in love" Facebook posts were bullshit. His kids were grown, scattered around the country, and so he basically tolerated the awful girlfriend because he didn't want to be alone. I never give unsolicited advice, but I felt so bad for him that I just blurted out the old axiom, better alone than in bad company. He died unexpectedly. As I expected, the girlfriend never showed for his funeral. Since the Wind phones are free, few, and very far between, there are no reviews of them on Yelp or TripAdvisor. But it would be fascinating to know what, if any, benefit is derived from using one. Have users ever contacted someone, maybe telepathically? Did they feel some solace after talking on the Wind phone? And how much of that comfort came from the phone and how much from time spent in beautiful surroundings? A savvy electronics guy could render a Wind phone functional. Imagine it rigged with a dial tone and an AI operator who speaks when the receiver is picked up. She'll cheerfully place a call to either a name or a number. That would surely trigger some freakouts and cardiac events and urban legends. It's probably only a matter of time until it happens. Of course, the Wind phone is utterly unnecessary, as so many products and services in life are. Nobody needs a remote forest and an antique phone to engage in a one-sided cathartic monologue. You could do that in your car, while taking a shower or a dump. But then so much of life is atmosphere and presentation, as the gourmet chefs like to say. So much of our lives are spent engaging with variations of the Wind phone. A good steak is no less tasty, whether eaten off a paper plate on the fender of a rusty Buick in a junkyard or a bone china in a candlelit 5-star restaurant. But we do pay handsomely for restaurants, don't we? Does God listen more closely to your prayers if you're kneeling in St. Peter's Basilica or in a muddy trench as bullets whiz by your head? The latter location, one would hope. Yet every week, billions of us march into churches and temples around the world, seeking a type of spiritual Wind phone. These days, shrinks in Los Angeles are getting $300 an hour and more. How many of their patients already know what's bothering them and have a good idea of a solution? Yet many very, very smart people remain in therapy for years, sometimes decades. How many are there just to have someone, anyone, to talk to on a regular basis, someone who will listen without checking their watch, cell phone, rolling their eyes, interrupting, or laughing? Maybe the wind phone is a symptom of 21st century alienation. A society digitally connected but bereft of genuine human interaction. Dozens of platforms on which to post, but none on which to organically converse. Face-to-face conversation, imbued with thousands of visual, oral, even olfactory cues that can belie or enhance our words and deliver deep, rich layers of communication. Well, those have been replaced, huh? By Zoom or Skype calls with fake backgrounds, theatrical lighting, and facial filters. Or worse, the fucking chat box. Sterile, cold, emotionless, and silent. Save for that hideous chime that says, "Your turn to type." Such a rewarding dialogue. Maybe Alice Cooper's lyric applies to all of us now. We may be lonely, but we're never alone. We've got Twitter, TikTok, Twitch, and if we really want, we can subject ourselves to becoming digital merchandise. Here I am. Swipe left or right. But those words are wrong. It should be swipe or wipe. Lots and lots of people are meeting this way. But digital dating has got to remove the pulse-quickening thrill of a lingering glance across a crowded room. And it negates our God-given filters, our five senses of discernment, and replaces them with digital filters of deception. What would you do if you encountered a wind phone? Would you use it? Pick it up and say those unsaid things you wish you had. Unleash the snappy comeback that eluded you yesterday in the heat of conversational combat. Some people keep a journal, which is a pretty good way to kind of monitor your life. Maybe a wind phone should be kept alongside of the journal. Make your entry, note what was left unsaid, grab that wind phone and say it. Your own neuro-linguistic programming. Probably sleep better if you say what needed to be said out loud. I saw a wind phone in use long before the one was created in Japan. I was just coming out of the subway on my way to my office in Manhattan. There was a guy there who was kind of a fixture on that street. They didn't call them homeless back then. They called them hobos or derelicts or street people. His hair stood on end. He wore a filthy, threadbare overcoat and galoshes, winter and summer. He was usually right there, at the subway exit, ranting or begging spare change from commuters. On this day, he held the receiver of a public phone to his ear. About a foot and a half of gooseneck-encased wire hung from one end. Who knows where he got it? Without bolt cutters, King Kong could not have torn it from a public phone. He was in the middle of a heated conversation, puffing on a cigarette between sentences. As I passed him, he yelled into the phone, "Buy in Boston, sell in Detroit," as if he was the Wolf of Wall Street. I laughed all the way to the office, and so did everyone else when I told him the story. If someone doesn't gimmick the wind phone with the AI that answers, then at the very least, they'll hide a voice-activated recorder. Might make an interesting listen. Surely it will trigger some laughs. And tears. Hey, thanks for hanging with me once again. It's always great to be with you. For hundreds more episodes, hop over to thatlarryshow.com. While you're there, click the subscribe button so you never miss one. Doesn't cost a thing. Follow the show on Twitter and Facebook. You'll find links to those pages there as well. Now, if you like what you just heard, click the Patreon or PayPal button and help me keep the show going. Or if you prefer more privacy, there's a postal address that gratefully accepts checks and cash. You will see it at thatlarryshow.com. If you're not budgeted for a donation, then share a link to the show on your social media or in an email to a friend. It takes 5 seconds and works wonders for this show and your karma. As always, a special gorilla-sized thank you to those magnificent dojo members who help keep this show going with your financial support. I'll see you next Wednesday or thereabouts, and until that time, take no shit.